Hey everyone, happy Monday. Welcome to the January 30th Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force call. Today we are going to have, we're going to be talking about Chappie. Manu Sporny is here from Digital Bazaar and he's going to walk us through what Chappie is and how it works, how it's been used so far. He's got a great presentation for us. And this is one of the topics types of topics we'd like to continue to cover at VC Edu because we know that everybody is trying to understand how all of this works. So this is one of those calls specifically. So if you've never heard of Chappie before, this is definitely the call for you. And if you have heard of it, I expect you'll learn something new today too. Okay, so to get us going here, the first thing is the IP note for W3C, which is that if you are going to make any, if you're putting any, making any substantive contributions to any of the standards, then you should sign up to be a member and join the CCG. This is just a community call, so you don't need to do that. But if you need to do that, the links are in the agenda that I put in the chat. Call notes, all of these calls are recorded, and we have a robot transcriber, as you can see in the left-hand side on the chat. And it does its best to understand us. And then we try to correct it as we go. That's how we keep track of minutes, for these calls so that folks who can't make it to the meetings can look this up later or any of us can reference it later. We use a queue system in these calls. And that means we type the letter Q like this in the chat, like I'm doing right now, and it will add you to a queue. And then if you want to be removed from the queue, you can type Q minus. And if you are wanting to respond to something directly that someone is talking about, it's helpful to you to go Q and then put in the topic or whatever you'd like to say, whatever it's in relation to, because then the person moderating the call knows maybe when to pull you into the order of the conversation. About 34 people here on the call. Is there anyone here today that would like to make an introduction and tell us more about why they're here and what they're working on? Or a reintroduction even, if you've been here before. Greg, you are in the queue.
Hi, I'm Greg Bernstein. I've been working more on networking standards in the past, but now I've been working on more of the security suites associated with VC credentials, and I'm particularly interested in getting BBS signatures along, particularly for educational type credentials.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the introduction. Welcome. Susan? So you're in the queue.
I appreciate it. Yes, I'm Susan Stroud. I'm a technologist and founder and currently a student at MIT working through the blockchain activities. And our efforts to really equip veterans with the information and digital tools that they need to successfully transition into civilian life has actually led me to this particular forum. So I'm very interested. I have read through some of the past notes and I'm looking forward to learning more in the days and weeks to come. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Susan. My name is Carolyn Moy and I work at MIT, the Digital Credential Consortium. So we should talk more at some point. I can fill you in on these things.
I would love that. Thank you.
Colin, you have the floor.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Susan, I feel like we should chat too. But just want to say thanks to everyone here that was attended the Experience U Project kickoff event last week. I just wanted to throw that out in front of the group. Again, to say that this is an initiative through the U.S. Chamber Foundation, T3 Innovation Network, and Ed Design Lab to take unstructured learning data and structure it into basically VCs and help populate LERs using AI. So we're in the team formation process right now. And I can put a link in the chat to more information about that. But just wanted to say thanks to those that attended and those that weren't able. Check out the link that we're still kind of forming teams and have a lot of interest. But yeah, the VC EDU community is definitely something that's helped to inform this whole process. And yeah, I want to keep everybody just up to speed with it.
That's great, Colin. Thank you. Is anybody else have anything to say, any introductions or things And we do also often do announcements. So the next part of our call is, does anybody have any other announcements that they would like to make? One that I will put in here right now is for registration for the Internet Identity Workshop. It is open. So I'm going to put a link to their website in the chat. Anyone is interested in attending this. This is an excellent unconference where a lot of work happens and you get to meet a lot of people in our community. So I highly suggest going if you're able to. Kalia, speaking of which.
Thanks for sharing.
Sure.
I also wanted to add, we're working with folks in the Asia Pacific region on a similar to IIW, but totally independent event happening in Thailand at the beginning of March. So if you have colleagues that are in the APAC region who've never had a chance to come to IIW or just want to connect with folks working on digital identity in the region, this is a great opportunity. So please share it.
Thanks, Kalia. Manu, you have the floor now.
Thanks, Gary. Real quick announcement about something happening in the Verifiable Credentials Working Group. This week, we sent out a demonstration of support for the Edwards Curve crypto suite. This is one of the crypto suites that was used very heavily in the JFF Plugfest 2 Plugfest. There were over 20 companies that demonstrated interop there. To move it as an official work item into the standards group, we needed to demonstrate kind of support for it. And there's a letter there with a lot of signatures on it, many from you, that went out. But the link I put into the chat channel, if you were not able to get your name on that letter to support this crypto suite as a global standard, just responding to that email is another way for you to kind of show your support for the crypto suite. Again, this crypto suite is what we use to demonstrate interop in the Plugfest 2. It is also the crypto suite that is being pushed into production across the U.S. for a number of retail use cases like digital age verification. So if you would like to see, you know, this crypto suite become a global standard, please send an email, you know, demonstrating your support for that crypto suite. That's the first item. Second item is that the Verifiable Credentials Working Group is having a face-to-face meeting in Miami in about 14 days. I think there are about, 12 people, no, 15 people attending in person, 20 people total. If you're not in the working group, you can request to be there as an observer. You contact the chairs to do that. It will be a 3-day event in the middle of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's it.
Thank you, Mona. I'll put a link to the VC working group in the chat too. Folks can take a look at that. Okay, our queue is empty. I don't see any other announcements or introductions, but feel free to jump into the queue and do that at any time during the call if something comes to mind. But first, what we're going to do now is I'd like to introduce Manu, who was just speaking, to give us a presentation and teach us about Chappie, which is a credential handler API. Thanks, Manu. Thanks for coming here today to do this.
Of course. Always happy to. Thank you for the invite. Let me go ahead and share my screen. For those of you that I have not met yet, my name's Manu Sporny. I am the lead editor on the Verifiable Credential Specification, the Decentralized Identifier Specification, Data Integrity, and a variety of other kind of verifiable credential related specifications at W3C. We started this work back in 2012-ish, I think, and it's great to see it grow into what it is today. And super awesome that like the VCEDU group exists and is so vibrant. You know, I think these calls are now bigger than the main calls, which is really awesome to see that kind of traction in the education space. okay. So, today we're going to talk about, how we move credentials around the ecosystem. So specifically, how does somebody, go to a website and get a credential from that website into their digital wallet? How do they hold it in their digital wallet and manage it in their digital wallet? And then how do they then go to a totally different website, that wants a verifiable credential from them? And how do they deliver that credential, to the other website? This is just one technology that, can do this, the credential handler API, Chappie. There are other technologies that we'll, you know, get into, in a bit. But that's basically the gist of the talk today, and it's meant to be kind of like a high-level introduction. Please stop me as we go. I'll try and pause every couple of slides to ask if there are any questions. Again, you know, this is meant to be a high-level presentation, so just high-level questions are totally fine and appropriate. Okay, so let's get into it. Chappie stands for, again, the Credential Handler API. It is kind of a browser-based technology to help us move verifiable credentials around. And this is the only picture that you really need to understand, what Chappie is doing, right? What we have here on the left is a verifiable credential issuer, like a university, community college, you know, what have you. And they're going to issue credentials into a digital wallet that is, controlled by, an individual, a student, or a teacher or a professor of some kind. And then, they're going to hold the digital credentials in that digital wallet, and then they're going to move it to a verifier. So a job hiring site, an employer, of some kind, another university, and so on and so forth. And this is basically kind of the, three-party model that, you know, is in verifiable credentials. You've got issuers, you've got holders, and you've got verifiers. Chappie is the thing that moves the credentials between these entities and the ecosystem. So these little purple boxes that you see with the little arrows back and forth, this pipe of communication, this channel of communication, that's Chappie. So that is effectively what we're talking about today. Thank you for sharing the slides, Carrie. Can anyone else, I guess, not see the slides?
They are looking okay for me here.
Okay.
So I think folks who can't see might just want to follow along in the Google Doc.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so this is it. Like at a high level, this is it. This is all there really is to Chappie. We'll dive down into the details, but like this is basically it at a high level. So let me pause here. Are there any questions at a high level about kind of what we're talking about here? It's just a mechanism to move credentials between the entities in the verifiable credentials ecosystem.
Nothing so far.
Okay. All right. So what does Chappie do? Chappie has a couple of features in it. And again, Chappie is something that is just there in your browser, right? It's something that does something, in your browser. You as an individual really don't have to think about it. It's the developers that have to worry about it and making sure that they include it in their websites. But, you as an individual, just showing up to a website, that's Chappie enabled, just get to start using it, right? So the first thing that Chappie does is it enables digital wallet registration. What that means is that we know that there are going to be many different digital wallets in the world. And what we're trying to do with Chappie is to make sure that people have a choice in the digital wallets that they pick. We don't want, large, you know, big tech to effectively push their digital wallets on people and not really give them a choice. We want individuals to find the digital wallets that work best for them, go to those websites, and then allow them to register that digital wallet with the web browser. So this is the first thing that Chappie does, is digital wallet registration. On the left here, the animation's probably better in if you look at the slides live, but the diagram on the left here is showing the Chappie dialogue that says, hey, this website, this digital wallet website, would like to manage your credentials. Manage credentials on your behalf. Is that okay with you? Yes, no. And this dialogue works very much like allowing a website access to your camera or allowing a website access to your geolocation. You're basically saying, I want this website to manage my digital credentials for me, right? And you can click that button many times on many different websites. You can have many different digital wallets. So the image on the right here shows the Chappie choose a wallet dialogue, and you'll see multiple entries in here from multiple different types of wallets. So these are the wallets that we used in the JFF Plugfest. You can see, you know, Verus Wallet, Learn Card, Charles Lehner's wallet, Teacher Wallet, and just another demo wallet. So these are all wallets that have registered with Chappie, so that when you go to do an operation like storing a credential or presenting a credential, you will get an option to pick from among a number of different wallets. So that's the first thing that Chappie does. The first feature that Chappie has is it lets you register wallets so that you can pick from them later on. Let me pause there. Any questions on wallet registration?
Manu, there's no questions, but I wanted to make one clarification.
Yep.
Is that, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think I'm right, is that if I would register my wallet, so it's not on this website, it's just that I have this wallet and I would allow this wallet to have access to Chappie Playground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to make sure that someone doesn't go to Chappie Playground and see a list of wallets and said they're all registered in the way, like someone personally. So you, this would be, say, your choice of your wallets.
Yes, that's right. It's personalized to you. It is your selection, not the website selection, right? So so Carrie is going to have a different set of wallets from like what I have. And, let's say that Phil is going to have a different set of wallets than, me. So this dialogue is basically showing you your wallets, the ones that you prefer, not the ones that the website prefers. Dimitri, I see you're on the queue.
I think Carrie beat me to it. I wanted to clarify that as well. When we say register with Chappie, we don't mean register with Chappie like the organization or anything like that. It's each wallet registers with each browser, and in fact, with each combination of user and browser. So when Manu and Carrie say that it's your list. So when you first go to any website that uses Credential Handler API, that list is going to be empty because you, the user, in your browser has not encountered any wallets that have asked for permission. So just to clarify, thanks.
Yeah, that's an excellent clarification. And now I'm thinking that I probably should have put a slide before this that explained how things work today. So the way things work today is, like, think about login with Google or login with Facebook. When you go to a website, they tell you what you're allowed to use to log in, right? So that website basically says, I support login with Google, you know, login with Facebook, login with whatever, and those are the only choices you get, sorry, right? What Chappie does is the opposite. We prefer that the individual comes with the set of like digital wallets that they have. And the website, you know, when it pops up the dialogue, it shows them the things that they prefer, not what the website prefers. The one thing that we're concerned about, one future that kind of Chappie is concerned about and is trying to prevent, is this future where effectively you go to a website and they say you can use your Apple wallet or your Google wallet and that's it, right? So we're trying to empower individuals to have wallet choice, and that's kind of the whole thing behind Chappie. Really good clarifications. Thank you, Carrie and Dimitri. Okay, I'm going to go on to the next item. The next item has to do with selecting a digital wallet. So when you go to do something like you go to a website and the website takes you through, let's say you go to an issuer, like a university, and you go through a class and you're ready to pick up that credential, what you earned during that class, and put it in your digital wallet. At that point, Chappie is invoked. It shows this wallet selection screen and says, you know, this website wants to store credentials. Which wallet do you want to put them in, right? That's effectively the question that Chappie's asking. And then you select one of your wallets. The same thing kind of happens when you go to a verifier site. So let's say you go to like a job hiring site, and it wants a proof that you, you know, have a certain level of education. It'll say, hey, this website wants a credential from you. It wants an education credential from you of some kind. Again, the Chappie dialog pops up. You select, you know, a wallet, an appropriate wallet, and then it takes you to this kind of screen on the right. So meaning that it takes you through the process of like selecting the appropriate credential. The animation that you see on the right here is kind of a demonstration of both sending a credential and receiving a credential. Actually, let me make sure that that's true. This is credential pickup. So someone has gone to, and this is the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, kind of a demo there using a digital wallet. They go to the website, they're picking up their digital permanent resident card. Chappie pops up, asks you which wallet you want to put it in. The user selects a wallet, and then the wallet gives them a little more information about what they're about to store. So the wallet pops up, and this is the other really important thing with Chappie, is that we make sure that we defer all of kind of the rendering and flow to the wallet. So the wallet can help the individual make the best decision for them. So one of the things that's involved there is like gathering consent. So the wallet here is basically saying, hey, this website wants to store this digital permanent resident card. Why don't you take a look at it and make sure this is something that you want to put in your wallet, right? And so the user kind of expands it. They take a look at it and they go, yeah, that looks pretty reasonable, and they click store and do that. You can imagine scenarios where the wallet might go, hey, I don't know anything about this site, and they're asking you for your permanent resident card, or they're asking you for your credit card or your driver's license, and you can go ahead and do this, but I don't know who this website is, right? Or the digital wallet can go, hey, like, there's a big problem here. Like, this website is a known, you know, phishing site, and you're about to send your digital credentials over to them. We suggest that you don't do that. So there, or the, you know, the wallet can do something like, hey, they're asking for proof of education, and you've got like these three different ways you could send it over. You know, we suggest you pick this one, which is, you know, protects your privacy the most, or this one, which, you know, shows you in the best light, or, you know, things like that. So the point here is that, we want to make sure that when an individual picks a wallet, that, the individual has a relationship with that wallet. They kind of know how it works and how it displays information to them. And so we don't presume, meaning Chappie doesn't presume, that the user interface should be rendered in any specific way. It makes sure that the wallet gets to show the individual, you know, those other screens. So that's basically wallet selection. It's a part of Chappie. It's built in. It's built into the kind of flow of receiving credentials and presenting credentials. Let me pause there, see if there are any questions before I move on.
I have a question, Manu. Sorry I missed the beginning of your presentation, but I'm in a weird time zone at the moment. Yeah, I have two questions. One is, can you choose different wallets for the same website? So could I go to an issuer and say, okay, I want my degree in this wallet. Oh, I'd also like, then I go back, I'd like to put it in a different wallet. So I could actually have the same degree put in two different wallets going twice to the same issuer. Is that possible?
Yes, it is possible. And this is, you know, one of those, areas of debate and concern, right? So there have been a number. So the answer to your question, David, is yes, that's completely possible if the website allows you to issue into two different wallets or to two different, identifiers. You can do that, right? Chappie right. doesn't get in the way of that happening. What has come up over the years is, should we always display all the wallets in Chappie? Like, is there a way for us to say, hey, this website wants, for example, a permanent resident card from you. You've got five wallets, but there's only one of them that has a permanent resident card in there. So shouldn't we make the interface easier, or simpler by just showing one option? Because there's only one wallet that can actually answer the question that the website's, asking. That's an open topic, right? It's also kind of open of, you know, some of these wallets have this concept of like profiles or different like personas. And should we expose that in the interface, or not? The good news here is that, you know, Chappie allows us to kind of iterate through these various ways of doing things. And those are very much kind of, you know, in the future. We have to get more kind of deployment feedback before we start implementing some of those features. And some of those features are not without privacy drawbacks, right? The more you are able to interrogate the wallet, or the more a website's able to interrogate the wallet about what kind of credentials you might have in there, the less privacy preserving we are, right? And so we tend to optimize on privacy first, meaning never expose anything to the website that's asking for information. They just ask a question, and from their point of view, from the website's point of view, it goes into, you know, the ether, which is Chappie. And then Chappie takes the question to the wallet, and then the wallet decides how it wants to respond, and then sends the response back to the website. So there are a lot of really interesting questions here around the interface here, and what's the easiest thing to kind of show in.
Yeah, no, I agree that the privacy route should be the preferred one. But on that tack, let's say that I've got my driving license in a wallet approved by the government, and I've got my degree in a different wallet, and I go to a website that wants both, then will Chappie allow me to pick one from one wallet, and then either in the same or in a second transaction, pick a different credential from a different wallet for the same website?
Yes. So today, the second thing that you said is what we'd have to do. There would be two transactions, one to deliver your, you know, ID, and the other one to deliver the education credential from the other wallet. Clearly, that's not ideal. And we're trying to figure out if there is a better way of kind of collecting credentials from a variety of different wallets and sending them over in one shot. It's very much, I think, an active area of kind of like research right now.
Okay. I can see the picking for multiple wallets is actually a good intercept strategy today when there are different wallets containing different things. So it might actually be the best strategy for the moment until people just have one wallet. Because, you know, when we go back to websites with X509 certificates and web browsers, one of the problems I've experienced is that I can have two different X509 certificates for a website, but once I choose one, then the browser always uses that. Even though I want to move to the other one, it doesn't allow me because it's remembered that this equivalent of wallet was, or this certificate was used with this website, so you'll always use this certificate with this website to make it easy, but it's actually inconvenient.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And I think that issue ends up becoming much more exacerbated when we have digital wallets, when you have the concept of like, you have many different credentials, right?
So you've got to give control to the user. Yep, exactly.
So there are trade-offs. Yeah, excellent question, David. And there are absolutely trade-offs here, right? The trade-off is that if we do this in multiple transactions, then the flow is more confusing or can be more challenging to the individual, right? And so there have been suggestions like, you know, is there a way for us to aggregate the request across a variety of different wallets? The answer is yes, of course, it's technology. There is a way to do that, but then we make the protocols more complex, for developers. And then we, you know, could have privacy implications as a result of that. It's harder to develop in the ecosystem and so on and so forth. So I think, you know, us as a community figuring out the right way to do that is still, you know, many years away. But great question, David. Okay. So this is digital wallet selection. So the other thing to understand about Chappie is that, we were trying to go for a solution that worked in every browser, that exists, right? Meaning that if you have a modern browser, Chappie works, full stop. It is implemented as what is called a polyfill. And a polyfill is a bunch of JavaScript code that a web developer puts into their website. So for example, a university that wanted to issue verifiable credentials would have to include this one line of, you know, this one line of JavaScript in their university website. A job site that would want to receive verifiable credentials would have to include this one line of JavaScript, and of course write against the credential handler API to store or receive credentials. So the point here is that for individuals, they don't have to install a browser plugin. They don't have to use a very specific browser. No matter what browser they're on, it should work. The downside to that is that we are limited in what we can do with current browser technology. Chappie has become kind of caught up in this whole like transition away from third-party cookies. So for those of you that may not be aware, third-party cookies are used by the ad industry to track people as they go from website to website. They're viewed as kind of this really bad toxic thing on the web because it is what allows, you know, ads to kind of track what you're doing, what you're looking at as you go from site to site. So all the big browser manufacturers are trying to eliminate third-party cookies and they're trying to put in alternatives. The good news here is that we saw this coming many years ago, with Chappie, and Chappie gracefully degrades, when we don't have access to third-party cookies. So, what you see on the left here is the kind of fully integrated experience in Chappie, meaning that when you're using your web browser, this screen just pops up and it's nice and integrated into whatever workflow you're in. You pick your wallet and you do, your things, right? There's a bunch of technology on how this works, right? There's a lot of kind of technology gymnastics happening behind the scenes to make this work. But one of the things that we use are third-party cookies. And when we don't have third-party cookies, we have to fall back. We have to do what's called degrading gracefully, in the browser space. So by degrade, what we mean is we can no longer show this window in line. We have to do a pop-up. And when we do a pop-up, all of a sudden you see this weird site called authn.io. This is the Chappie mediator site. The UI is still the same inside the window, but the window pops up, right? So on a mobile device, it's not too bad of an experience. In fact, you kind of expect it on a mobile device, but on like a desktop, it's a bit weird, right? And so we're working with folks like Google's Chrome team to figure out how to get better native support for Chappie. But the point here is that Chappie works on all modern browsers. And so if you need to move credentials from point A to point B and you're in the browser environment, Chappie is going to work fairly well for you. Real quick, we used Chappie during the Jobs for the Future Plugfest. We demonstrated 81 different interoperability combinations, 8 different wallets, 5 web-based wallets, and 3 native mobile apps. So Chappie works for both web-based model, web-based wallets and native mobile apps. We integrated with a bunch of different issuers, and we'll see a demo on how this works later on, but this is kind of the list of companies that demonstrated interop using Chappie. And just to go through kind of, you know, the three steps again, just a review. So Chappie allows credential handler registration. So it allows a website to say, I want to be a digital wallet for you and manage your credentials. The code basically requests that a credential handler for you. You click allow or block. And then when you click allow, the credential handler is ready, and that's the only thing you have to do to register. When you go to store something, you as the individual go to a website, you go through some process that results in a verifiable credential that could be issued. That website then uses Chappie. It makes an API call to Chappie to say, I want to store this credential, at which point your digital wallet pops up. Shows you an interface, gets your consent, and if you click, yes, I want to store it, the website then gets a response back saying that the credential was stored successfully. And if you say, no, I don't want to store it, the website, gets a notification that you did not, store the credential for some reason, for whatever reason. No details go back to the website other than that credential wasn't stored. The third thing is presentation. So again, pretty much the same thing. You go to a website, the website, requests a bunch of verifiable credentials, from you. Your digital wallet pops up and you select the credentials that you want to send over, potentially in, you know, privacy preserving ways. The wallet gets consent from you and then it's sent to, the website. In all of these flows, it is really important to understand that the website that's requesting the information from you gets zero visibility into your wallet or what you're doing in your wallet or any of that stuff. It's really important. Again, like, we optimize very aggressively for privacy, and none of your information is shared until, you know, you provide consent of some kind. Nate, I see you're on the queue.
Yeah, thanks. I have a question about the scope of what a website can request at this step in the process. Within the education space, we have notably the Open Badges standard, and all Open Badges credentials share the same type. So if a website is trying to ask for a certain, you know, an Open Badge that meets a certain more complex characteristic, mm-hmm. they probably don't want to just ask for, hey, give me any Open Badge you have. Mm-hmm. What types of scenarios are imagined within Chappie for the, like, type-specific querying, and how can other more specific communities layer onto this to enrich the possibility for how we understand, like, what different types of queries are possible when it's all Open Badge type credentials?
Got it. Yeah, that's an excellent question, Nate. So Chappie is agnostic to the query and response format. Chappie is kind of like a dumb communication channel. It doesn't try to get in between, you know, the language that's spoken from the requesting website and the digital wallet. The short answer to your question today is, there's a specification called the Verifiable Presentation Request Spec, VPR. And VPR has this mechanism in it called query by example. And so what the website typically does is the website goes, like the website that's requesting information, says, I want to see a credential that looks like this. And it's a fairly free form thing, meaning it can say, I want to see a credential that has a type of open badge. And I want to see an achievement type of, you know, X, or I want to see it, have a field with a certain, date, or I want to see it have, you know, an issuer of a certain type. So, the short answer is and thank you, Carrie, for linking the VPR spec in there. The VPR spec has mechanisms to do that kind of querying. But I have to definitely warn people, like, it is very early days. Like, query by example, what we're trying for there is just like a really, simple, mechanism for developers to use. And it may become, you know, badges may become like really, really complex, like, you know, learning records, like full LERs. You know, querying for like, you know, something in an LER might be like a really complex query. So, I don't want to convey that like this is a solved problem by any stretch of the imagination. Like today we can do like really simple checking against types in certain types of fields. And I'm pretty certain like that'll work for like 80% of the use cases, but it will not work for like 100%. So Chappie is agnostic to the query format. There are other presentation request, you know, formats out there like, Presentation Exchange. And there's no reason Chappie can't also support Presentation Exchange, as a query, you know, response protocol. So, so hopefully Nate, that answered your question. Like we can potentially do the type of selection that you want to do today with verifiable presentation request, but I don't think it's ever going to be a 100% solution. I'm hoping that we don't have to go to like a super complex graph query language, right? Or like people writing SQL queries or unstructured database queries to get the data, like to get the credentials that they need. But if that were to happen, Chappie can support it as a different query type. Did that answer your question, Nate?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good explanation of kind of the state of the art. And I imagine we will see a wide variety of levels of support across different wallets. And so nobody should expect to be able to have very rich querying and accurate responses broadly anytime soon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think that the best thing that we can do as a community is like maybe start depending on type data a little bit more. So that, you know, so that people can be more accurate, you know, when they issue something and when they request something. And I'd say, Dimitri, I think you're on the queue next.
Yeah, I wanted to say a few more words about the querying part. So as Manu mentioned, it's early days, and though the query is limited, at the moment, we essentially have all of the query parameters that we're likely to need as developers, meaning you can request by type. So you can say, give me an open badge credential. But you can also say, give me an open badge credential with this particular achievement. You can filter by issuers, for example. You can say, I only want credentials from this issuer. You can filter by credential subject ID. So basically any sort of field that you can picture in the, in your credential, the outgoing query can contain that. There's also a couple of really interesting, other flexible things that the query can contain, such as, hey user, if you don't have any wallets registered with the browser, here are some where you might want to look, right? So it has a nice, onboarding workflow, where if the user just has no idea what Chappie is, doesn't have a wallet or anything like that, the first time they come to a website that asks for a credential, they can onboard onto a wallet right off of there. So come to the university or some verifier, and it says, give me your class completion credential, but I don't have any wallets. I haven't gone and gotten the credential. The same query that is asking for the wallet can say, okay, if you don't have it, here are some wallets that we, the verifier, recommend. But you're free to use other ones, but here are some to start you with. So you can go get a wallet, score the credential, and come back and present the credential. The other thing that Chappie does that Mana hasn't emphasized too much in this presentation, but I think it's really useful, is that it does DID authentication. So since it can ask for any sort of credential, it can ask for what we think of as traditional verifiable credential. But other things that it also can ask for is login and authentication and permission credentials. Now that's an advanced topic. We can go over that in another call, but just keep it in the back of your mind that this also enables really nice login flows. And lastly, what I, Manu already mentioned that Chappy itself is what's called a dumb pipe, does not care what goes into the request. And so there are several query specifications that you can include. One of them is the verifiable presentation request that Carrie linked to. The other one's presentation exchange, and any others as they emerge in the community. So it's important to remember that this credential handler API mechanism can be used with all of the APIs that are currently in the wallet ecosystem. So it could be used with VC API using wallets. It can be used with OpenID Connect family of wallets, and potentially can be used with the DIDCOM family. Okay, that's it for me. Thanks.
Yep, all excellent points, Dimitri. Absolutely. Phil, I think you were on the queue next.
Phil, before you go, sorry to interrupt. I just want to keep an eye on the time and note that Manu does have a demo, and I want to make sure we can fit that in too, okay?
Right, and can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, and I think David may be first, but David, you want to go first?
You're the only person in the queue
okay.
right now.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify, and because I think this is also the case, and I want to make sure I'm right. When the request is made by, let's say, the relying party for a particular credential filtered by whatever criteria they're looking for, the user that has the wallet holder can accept or not that choice of response and can alter the response by putting in the credential they would like to share themselves. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes. I don't know if you mean like if the website just says, I want an open badge credential, and it's not specific about the type, the individual's wallet is going to basically show them all their open badges credentials, and the individual can basically be like, oh, I want to send this one, because I know what the site wants. Was that the question?
That's one variation of the question. The other is, they request a credential with achievement X. I don't want to send them the one with achievement X. I want to send them one with achievement Y, because I think it speaks more to my ability to respond to, let's say, the job requirements of the position I'm applying for.
Well, that's interesting. In theory, yes. I don't know any wallets that allow that kind of like change in selection today. But you're absolutely right that, you know, why shouldn't people be allowed to do that? Right, if they want to.
Yeah, I'm specifically thinking of things like someone says, I'd like to see your full transcript. I actually have a subset of my transcript which has the courses relevant to what I think the job is, and not the courses that also include things that are outside the domain of the job and which, in my view, might actually not be well received by the recipient. Yeah. And so I want to give them the one I want to show. They can also say, I want the whole thing anyway, and then it's my choice to decide to comply or not.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, my expectation in these scenarios is that, at least as an ecosystem, Chappy and most of the wallets optimize for privacy and individual consent and choice, and that all lines up with what you're saying, right?
Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. Okay, real quick to the demo. Let me see. Can everyone see my screen right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So the demo is basically, I mean, you know, it's really kind of simple and straightforward. I've got a wallet here. This is the Verus wallet, and it's got, three credentials in it, a permanent resident card, alumni credential, movie ticket. And then, you know, I can click on something to see, you know, the credential in more detail. I also have this LearnCard wallet, up, and a LearnCard did a fantastic job, you know, of integrating, as did all the other wallet, vendors of integrating. But as you can see, LearnCard's interface for their wallet is quite different from Chappies. In fact, it's way more slick, right? So you look at it here. This is your credential. If you click view details, the credential flips over and you can read the description, issuer, you know, criteria. I really love what they've done, with the interface here. But these are the two wallets that, you know, I have chosen to use as an individual. And so when I go to a website, so this is a website that just issues credentials. I'm going to select the PlugFest 2 credential, this one here. So this is the Jobs for the Future PlugFest 2 credential. I'm going to click generate verifiable credential. And so it basically calls and back in and issues the credential, to me. I can take a look at this. You know, it's a verifiable credential. That's an open badge credential. And then when I click store in wallet, that is when Chappie pops up. So when I click store in wallet, Chappie pops up this interface and it says, this website wants to send credentials to you. And it clearly outlines what the sending website is. And then it gives me two selections for my wallet. I can pick, the Verus wallet or the LearnCard app, to put the credential in. It also by default just remembers your choice for the website. You know, in the future, you'll probably continue to use the same wallet. But in this case, I don't want it to do that, right? I want it to ask me every single time. Even in the future, if it auto selects a wallet, I can go back and I want to use a different wallet. You know, I know I use, you know, wallet A 90% of the time in this website, but this time I want to use wallet B, speaking to what you mentioned, David. And then I basically select the wallet, and then the wallet's interface pops up. Again, like Chappie totally defers to the wallet to show the interface. This is the wallet rendering the interface where I can see the details of the credential I'm about to pick up. And when I click store, it's stored, and then I'm sent back to the website that I was on. So if I go to my wallet, see there were three credentials before. If I refresh my wallet, now I should be able to see four credentials in there, including the new one that I just picked up, this Jobs for the Future PlugFest credential, right? So that's me picking it up in one wallet. I can do the same process again, so pick the PlugFest 2 wallet. But this time, I'm going to store it in my LearnCard wallet. So I pick the LearnCard app, which is then going to put up its own interface. So this is the LearnCard wallet's interface. And they're asking me if I want to accept or reject this credential. I can kind of view the details here, and then click accept, to accept the credential. And then LearnCard successfully stored it in, the LearnCard wallet. So that's it. Like that, you know, it's fairly straightforward. There's, you know, not too much excitement, you know, going on there. Jumping back really quickly, because I know we're almost out of time. There's a Chappie timeline in the slide deck. Feel free to look through it. We've been at this for a while now. It's taken a lot of time to figure out the right way to get this integrated into the browser such that it works across all desktop browsers, all tablet browsers, all mobile app browsers. You would not believe the number of variations of browsers out there. So it's taken us a while to get it working 100% across the board. More recently, we've been able to demonstrate interop going really well using Chappie. But I think the most interesting thing is what's going to happen in the Chappie roadmap over the next couple of months to years. So this year, Chappie is going into production. They're going to be dedicated data center teams running Chappie. So if you want to use Chappie in production, it is definitely the year to start doing that. We're adding better integration for native apps so that native apps show up in the Chappie selector. Right now they don't, but we want them to. We are adding in some variation of the OIDC4 support, so OIDC4 VCI and OIDC4 VP. We are working with Google's Chrome team on, you know, native browser experiments and integration there. We expect some of that native browser code to be shipped. It is already shipping. FedCM is already shipping in the latest version of Google Chrome. So we're expecting a couple of new features that we might be able to use to make the Chappie experience better, so that we don't have to gracefully degrade. We can just have a really nice native in-browser experience. And then of course, 2025 and beyond, continued, you know, upgrades and improvements. Okay. One of the, just real quick and then back over to you, Carrie. One of the most exciting things that's happening right now is that the browser teams are starting to look at Chappie and go, hey, you know what? We think we can map it to some of the native stuff that we're working on in the FedCM work, which is built into the browser. You'll note that their kind of account selection screen looks very similar to the Chappie wallet selection screen. To the point that, you know, Sam Goto, came and, presented to the CCG last week and said that he feels like all of these things that are highlighted, could be aligned. There are links in the presentation deck to Chappie and the polyfill and all that kind of stuff. And with that, back over to you, Carrie.
Thank you, Manu. That was excellent. I know you fit in a lot into this 1 hour or less. But thank you for coming today. Everyone, keep an eye on your inbox. If you're not on the VCEDU mailing list, you can join it here. We're actually working, VCEDU co-chairs are working with Digital Promise and Learning Economy Foundation on a badge where you can try this out for yourself. So keep your eyes open for that in the near future, and you can give it a shot and see what you think about it. Thanks, everybody. I hope you have a great week. Manu, thank you again.
Thanks for having me. Have a good one, everyone.
Susan, did you have a question?